Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I don't know how many of you know that song, Jesus is Coming Again. I remember the first time I heard that was shortly after my wife and I accepted the Lord as our Savior, and we were singing in the choir of Jack Van Impe Crusade. He came to our town in Youngstown, Ohio, and they filled the gym. This filled it up, all the bleachers, all the seats on the floor, and that's one of the songs we sang. That's a good memory. That's a good memory. How's your memory today? Good. Good. Okay. Numbers chapter 11. We will begin reading in verse 1, Numbers chapter 11. Some people have a bad memory about good things, and they have a real good memory about bad things, you know. And that's human nature. But we're going to read about Israel here. And they are being supplied by the Lord. The manna is being fed to them. And what a blessing. They've been freed from Egypt. And but this is the story. Verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. Aren't you glad you're not living in the Old Testament times? Amen. Could you imagine, let all things be done without murmurings and disputings, but you're going to murmur anyway, and psst, you know? It's good to be living in the age of grace. Amen. Verse 3, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude, this is the people that came out of Egypt, out of the bondage. They weren't Jews. They were a mixed multitude that came out with them for a number of different reasons. The mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? And the next verse is basically our text. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. They were in slavery. They didn't eat it freely. The manna was free. Amen? God's grace is free. But what they ate in Egypt came with a lot of work and labor and heartache. And it says, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Boy, what a way of looking at something. But let's bow our heads and ask God to give us a good memory today. Amen. Father, thank you for the blessings of our life. Truly, they're many. And if we could just cast down imaginations and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of you, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to think on the things that are good and lovely, etc. Lord, what a blessing that would be, and that would put praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. I pray that you would speak to us today, and that you would receive the honor and glory that you're worthy of. Help us as we hear, and help us as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. In Exodus chapter 16, it's a little further back than this story, but the nation of Israel has still been delivered from Egyptian bondage. And the Bible says, remember Exodus 15, they're singing the song of Moses. They've crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh's been destroyed. They're free, right? And so this is chapter 16. And it says in verse 2, the whole congregation praised, no, I wish it would have said that, but it says the whole congregation murmured against Moses and against Aaron. So they're complaining again, just right after being delivered. And it says in verse 3, and the children of Israel said unto them, Moses and Aaron, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Really? Now that's why Moses came as deliverer, to bring them out into the wilderness to kill them all, right? I mean, where would they get such an idea? It's amazing when there's a grief or a fear or a need, sometimes it can become so strong that you don't see things clearly. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, probably every day, right? And something happens like that, but they were murmuring and they were complaining. Some remember the best even though it was the worst, and some remember the worst even though it was the best. Remember the good old days? They call them the good old days. Do you remember? Franklin Adams said, nothing is more responsible for the good old days than a bad memory. You have a bad memory, you call it the good old days. I remember when I was in school, high school, more than 50 years ago. That's a long time ago. The top seven discipline problems were, and I looked this up, talking. These are the discipline problems back in that day. Talking, gum chewing, making noise, running in the halls, getting out of turn in line, wearing improper clothes, and not putting paper in waste baskets. That's the top seven back in that day. I remember it. Today, now this is a rural area, so it'd be a little different, but in our cities and a lot of overpopulated places, today the top seven are drugs, alcohol abuse, pregnancy, suicide, rape, robbery, assault, and guns in the schools. It's on the news all the time. What in the world happened? Those were the good old days to some degree, amen, depending on what you remember. Now, you may remember in the good old days, there was no air conditioning. At least not in my house, there wasn't. There wasn't even a fan. And you remember the old box fans? Man, if you got one of those, man, you were living high, you know? But how about when we had to walk to school? I walked to school uphill both ways, to and from school. And that's a good story. Anyway, the good old days, fast food. I remember when the first McDonald's came out. And remember the drive-thru? Boy, when they put the drive-thru in, you can go at night in your bunny slippers and get something to eat, you know? But there's a lot of things that we think were good and a lot of things we think were bad, and we have our own idea of all of that. And so that's how we think. That's what we remember. What do you remember about God? What do you remember about all the time up to this point? What are your memories? Some people are filled with a lot of regrets. And some people just see all the bad things that happened. In Genesis 47 and verse 9, Jacob now has come to meet Pharaoh. He knows about his son Joseph being alive. And so he's coming back. If you know the story, we won't take the time to tell the whole story. But Jacob comes back and he says this to Pharaoh. He's an old man now. He says, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. He nailed it. That is true to a lot of instances in his life. He says, few and evil. Esau hated him. Esau was his brother. Esau hated him and wanted to kill him. That's in Genesis chapter 27. That's the story there. That'd be a terrible thing. You wouldn't forget that. You wouldn't forget that. He was deceived in his uncle Laban's house in Genesis chapter 31. I don't know if anybody's ever deceived you intentionally. Well, he was. It's so many years for this daughter, and then so many years he had to work for this daughter, so he was deceived. In Shechem, his daughter Dinah was defiled. She went out to see the daughters of the land. She went out where she shouldn't have been, and she was defiled. He remembered that. That was in Genesis chapter 34. Also in chapter 34, his sons went and slaughtered the Shechemites and destroyed their reputation in the whole area. I mean, it was a very, very cruel thing to do, to make all of those people pay for that one sin. Genesis 35, that's where he buried Rachel, his beloved wife. Genesis 37, that is where his sons lied to him about Joseph, and I mean his own sons. You could take any one of those things, and any one of those things could destroy a man's life. they could ruin his heart and his picture of what God is doing in his life. Amen? I mean, and we might not have as serious things in our life, but if you live long enough, you're going to experience some things. What do you remember? Israel and Egypt. We remember the fish. That's an amazing statement. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 20, but the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. God called it an iron furnace. It was a hard place. It was a difficult place. That's why he raised up Moses to be the deliverer. A deliverer delivers from something. Amen? So here's great trial, great affliction, and God sent somebody and all the miracles that took place, right? And brought them out. And they saw all of this. And they saw the passing of the Red Sea where they passed over. And the wall of water on one side and the other. How would you ever forget that? Soon as they get on the other side. Yeah, we remember the leeks, the garlics, and the onions. And you brought us out here to kill us. How could they get there? Amen? How could we get to some of the thoughts that we come to? I don't know. They're on their way to the promised land now. Genesis 32, 28. And he said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. What a day that was for Jacob. Why didn't he say that to Pharaoh? You know, few and evil have been my days. Why didn't he say, you know, God's been merciful to me? God has changed my life. He's changed my name. He's changed everything about me. He's my strength. He's my love of my life. Why couldn't he have said that? Because all of those bad things were in his mind and took over. The truth is that in this life, we have good memories and bad memories. You say, well, I don't think I have any good memories. Yes, you do. You just need to think about them. Amen? Well, I just have a lot of bad memories. Well, God can help with bad memories. It's our choice what we remember. It's our choice. It's our choice. Somebody said a bad memory is like a bitter pill. If you take a bitter pill, you don't chew it, you swallow it and get rid of it as soon as you can. Sometimes we chew on things. We just chew on them and over and over and over, and the bitterness enters into us, and the bitterness is a root springing up, and it troubles us, and thereby many be defiled. And so here's a bunch of people, and all they have is bad memories. Boy, that's going to be a party. Amen? It's called a pity party. But if we had a time of praise where we would recall wonderful things that God did for us, it'd be a whole different meeting. Amen? Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's taken all our sins away. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so we sing that, not like a funeral dirge. You know, we sing it like, man, I remember when God did this and God did this. Man, I've got a list so long in my life, and when I think about it, I get happy. I don't always think about it, though. It's amazing, before you know it, you're thinking about the wrong thing, and you say, I'm sorry, Lord. But praise God, at least you caught your mind in the middle of something and went on to something else. Mark chapter 6 and verse 52, the disciples saw a lot of miracles, and they were thrilled that the Lord was here. But it says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They not considered not this miracle, their heart was hardened. And so they didn't remember how good God had been. If you can remember the day you got saved, if you can remember some of the days when God delivered you or helped you, how kind he was. A thankful heart remembers the good, an unthankful heart remembers the bad. And it murmurs and it complains. It's just a fact. Bob Jones Sr., when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And that's what the devil wants us to do. Think about all that's wrong. Think about all the bad memories. By the way, there is a thing called providence in the Bible, sovereignty. And God used Joseph's brothers hating him and selling him into slavery. They were going to kill him, but they sold him into slavery. And God used that to save the posterity, to save the whole family, the whole nation. Amen? You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. We're to write offenses in the sand and blessings in stone so that the blessings are always there, and the offenses just get washed away. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2, and thou shalt remember, this is the Lord speaking, and thou shalt remember, that's a good thing, amen, what does he want us to remember? All the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. I want you to remember wandering 40 years. I want you to remember that because God had a purpose in that. Amen? I want to read some of the other verses to give you the context. Verse 10 says, when thou hast eaten and aren't full, because God was going to take them into the promised land. God was going to bless them ultimately. When thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. In other words, remember him. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It's amazing when we're out of adverse circumstances that we forget the grace of God and what he was doing in that circumstance. And we take credit for something, or we just forget all about it. Verse 16, just a couple more verses. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth power to get wealth. It is he that has power that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. If you have wealth, God gave you the opportunity. You're not a self-made man. He gave you the health. He gave you the mind. You were born with that. You can turn the TV on and find crippled people or people that can't even think straight. And God gave you opportunity. No, I made my own opportunity. God gets the glory for everything. Amen? Everything. And we ought to give him the glory for it. And here's what he's saying. When you have a goodly house and when you've prospered and when this is good and that's good, remember God. Give God the glory for it because he's the one that deserves the glory for it. Amen? Deuteronomy 6:23, he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Now, there's something I want to deal with today, and I think it will be a blessing, because it's so true, we just don't remember it or we don't see it. Spurgeon said there's a satanic work that causes us to remember the bad. It's the old man, and the old man remembers the bad. It's a spiritual thing to remember the good, so we can give praise to God. And it's also a spiritual thing to take the bad and recognize that God has a purpose in it, so God still gets the glory. Amen? And that's what God wants. It says in Psalm 103 and verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Amen? And all the people said, amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. In other words, remember him. Don't forget him. Remember the Persian king in Esther chapter 6, and he couldn't sleep, and so he had somebody bring the books, the Chronicles of the Empire, and he discovered that one man had saved his life, but he'd never been rewarded. And it's amazing how quickly he took care of that. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. It says in Esther chapter 6, on that night, now the next night, the enemy is going to come and say, we need to put this guy on the gallows, Mordecai. We need to kill him because he's bad in the kingdom. So we're going to build a gallows and kill him. On that night, could not the king sleep? God woke him up. And he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king, and it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. And the king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him. Nothing. This is the man that saved the king's life. And it fell through the cracks. The information, it was recorded in a book, but nobody did anything about it. And the king is flabbergasted. He takes care of it right away. I mean, right away. You can read the rest of the chapter. But he says, "This man saved my life. What has been done for him?" "There is nothing done for him." And right away, he took care of it. Boy, oh boy, don't be shocked. Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," daily. Once would have been enough. Loadeth. Crumbs would have been enough. Us, unworthy as we are, he daily loads us with benefits. I wrote this down, and think about this. Read in the diary of your heart and mind the wonderful benefits that God has bestowed upon you. Because it says he daily loads us with benefits. So in your heart and mind, in this assembly today, sometime today, go back and read in your mind the benefits, the blessings that God has given you and that he is to you. And ask yourself, what honor and dignity hath been done to God for this? He saved my life. What honor and dignity have been done to him? And we should be shocked sometimes at the response if there is nothing done for him. We read a story like that in Esther and we get that. Now I get that. Here's a guy who saved his life. It'd be like somebody pulling you out of a burning house, and then years later, you're driving down the road, and you see him, he's out of gas, and you just wave and go by. I mean, it's probably greater than that, you know? But here's a God that saved us from eternal damnation to eternal glory, amen? And what has been done for him? I think it's an important thing to think about. I want to read these verses again and give you another illustration. Psalm 68:19. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation," Selah. Has he done anything for you today? Yes, he has. His mercies are new every morning. I mean, just that you had the health to come to church. I mean, there's so many. We could go on and on and on. But it says in Psalm 103, I'm going to read verse 1 as well as verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. All that I am, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Romans 8:28, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." But remember Jacob, back in the book of Genesis? "All these things are against me." No, all things work together for good. No, they're all working against me. That's what he thought. But it was all working for his good. And he found that out a little bit later. How soon we forget. Here's a father. He wants to take his little boy to the fair. Okay? And so he says, "Son, I'm going to take the day off and I'm going to take you to the fair." "Oh, goody." You know, I would jump, but I'd hurt my back. But, oh, goody, you're taking me to the fair. You're taking a day off. You're that interested in doing this for me? And he's elated, right? And they get to the fair, and the father says, "Would you like some ice cream?" "Yeah, but we didn't eat any breakfast. What do moms think?" "Ah, don't worry about mom. We're at the fair." Right? Come on, guys. Give me a little help here. Amen? And ice cream. "And can I get 2 scoops? "Yeah, get all you, okay, I'll have 3 scoops. And so he's eating ice cream. He's got it all over his face. Doesn't matter if it gets on his shirt. His dad's just giving him a fun day at the fair, right? They pass a place, I don't know if you've ever had one of these, elephant ears. Whoa, I shouldn't have mentioned that. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. But there, yeah, I mean, the butter is just oozing, and the cinnamon and the sugar and the dough is, I mean, it's so good. And he just had ice cream. Dad, can I get an elephant ear? Yeah, son, you can get an elephant ear. And so that's how the day's going, right? And they're having fun. They're looking at animals. They're riding on rides. They're eating whatever they want. And the father says, okay, son, it's time to go. And he starts screaming. Whoa. And he starts complaining. I don't want to go yet. I want to ride that ride. I want one of those. I want to stay another hour. What would we think of that little boy? Would we think he's spoiled? Well, yeah, that's nice. Amen? I mean, they're still at the fair, and he's got all these memories, but he wasn't satisfied with all of that. This is the same day. What about us? You cannot think about the benefits of God. There's nothing to compare them to. Well, my car isn't running good. Hey, there's blessings that are much better than your car not running good. Well, all I look at is blessings in life are financial and material and circumstantial things. Wait a minute. What about the spiritual things? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the spiritual life. And the reason a lot of people don't have a praise in their heart is because everything's about this. Everything's about how people treat us and what we have and what our comforts are and getting a circumstantial prayer answer. And they don't see the spiritual blessings. It's not all about what we have. It's about who has us. We are in Christ. Amen? One day we are going to live forever. We're going to have a new body. I mean, there's so much to say about this. It's just absolutely amazing. Be shocked at the response. What has been done for him? Well, this, well, that. That's murmuring. That's complaining. You know? We ought to be praising God because there's a purpose in everything. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but David had committed adultery with Bathsheba in chapter 11. And he had Uriah killed. That was Bathsheba's husband. And according to the Psalms, it's just eating him up. Nathan the prophet comes in chapter 12. And Nathan says, I got a story for you, king. I need to know what your judgment is. And the king would give the judgment, and then that would be carried out. And he says, there is a man, and he's a poor man. And he had a real little baby ewe lamb, and he was the pet of the family. And there was a rich man that came along. He had all kinds of flocks and herds, etc., but he had company coming. And rather than take from his own flock, he went and took this man's only pet, this little baby ewe lamb, and killed it, and they ate it. David. Man, he is incensed. He is just so angry. And what shall be done for this man? And David said, he'll pay fourfold and give his life. He's going to pay fourfold and give his life. Guilty people get really angry. And David was guilty, and he was living with that guilt for a whole year. And out it came on somebody else. And Nathan the prophet said, thou art the man. But listen to what God says through the prophet. Nathan said to David, verse 7, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. God did that. Remember, David was the eighth son? He was the little guy. He was the one that God chose. I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. Remember those miracles? All of those miracles. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. If that wasn't enough, but that was enough, I would have done this for you. David, how could you do that? After all you experienced and all you saw, how could you do that? There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, when kings go forth to battle, David tarried at Jerusalem. He was a king. He should have been in the battle. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He saw Bathsheba. Story's over. God said, I would have done this and this and this and this. What do we want God to do for us? How about a peace that passeth understanding? How about a love that is so great? How about an excitement, a desire, a cleansing, a holy life? I mean, what can God do? No, I want him to put more money in my account. I want this. I want that. I want these people to treat me better. And on we go. There's no way to have a good life like that. No way. Because there's no joy in that. There's happiness because it depends on happenings. Don't ever trade joy for happiness. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You have Isaiah chapter 5. This is God speaking to Israel. This principle is all through the Bible. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song. Sing a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. This is speaking about the nation of Israel, his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vine, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. God did all that work. He did all that work in that heart so it would bring forth fruit to his honor and glory. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? Man, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Don't you want that? I'd rather have that. It's better to have, Proverbs says, I'll paraphrase this because I can't remember the verse, unless Richard remembers it. Okay. I'd rather have a salad and peace in my home than the fatted calf and no peace, than a steak with no peace. It goes on here and it says, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done it in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. What more could I have done? That's what he says to Israel. The prophet and God said to David, what more could I have done? I would have done it. I've done everything. Amen? When God saved you, the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's good ground now. That's good ground. And new converts, they just eat up the Bible because the Word is precious to them. The ground is good. But sometimes we go along and the world pulls us this way or that way, or the things of the world choke the Word that it becomes unfruitful. But God prepared our heart. Amen? When we got saved, it's just a wonderful truth. You have Ezekiel 16. This will be the last one I read. This is God, again, speaking to the nation of Israel about their history. It's the same principle. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God of Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. Remember in Genesis 12, God called out Abraham, called out the nation of Israel. That's where it all began. And it says, as from thy nativity in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. That's just like the Good Samaritan story, Luke chapter 10, that we spoke of a couple weeks ago. God says, none I pitied thee, but when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Doesn't stop there. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned. Thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of loves, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. You have the picture? A baby's born. It's out in the field. I mean, it's in its own blood. It's laid there to die. Nobody pities it. The priest passes by. The Levite passes by. There's nobody but God. Wow. If you have nobody but God, you still have everything. Amen? It goes on, then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen. I covered thee with silk. He's doing a lot as this child is growing, but it's the nation of Israel. I decked thee also with ornaments. I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus was thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk, and broidered work, and did eat fine flour, and honey, and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper in the kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Verse 15, and I'll be done. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty. What? Weren't they warned about this in Deuteronomy? Weren't they warned about this in Numbers 11? And playest the harlot, not as we would see physically today, but this is the nation going after other idols, which they did. And that's what caused the 70-year captivity. Because of thy renown and pourest out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was. A little baby saved, taken care of, given the riches of this life, and then goes away and turns away from that Savior, that one who rescued them, and just gives it all away to whoever wants it. Serves other gods. Doesn't make sense, does it? Be shocked at the response. Be shocked at the response. There is a way to remedy this. And it has to do with the Word of God, but it has to do with what we remember. If you keep remembering, oh man, I remember the leeks, the garlics, and the onions. Now, as a Christian, boy, this is hard. If you just keep remembering the wrong thing, if you remember the offenses against you, it'll make you bitter, you know? If you remember the lure, the pull of the world, and everything's about get all you can and can all you get, you know? Just get it to, you know, if that's all that you think about and all that you remember, life, spiritual life is going to be quenched. I think there's two illustrations in the Bible. There's more, but I'll just use two. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, you're familiar with the story, but the prodigal son, when he was going to go away and be rebellious, he said, give me my inheritance. The father did. Here's your whole inheritance. Man, he's a kind heavenly father. Give me. He went away, he wasted his substance, all of his inheritance, on riotous living. When he came back, he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. Boy, he came back a different man, didn't he? He was humbled. What happened in between there? He came to himself. He came. The thought in his mind, boy, my dad was good to me. Wow, in my father's house, there's bread enough and to spare, and we sing that song. Everything's all right in my father's house, you know? And man, he thought about it. Amen. He considered it. He remembered what it was like. The other one is Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar. And he's going around, he's saying, man, look at this great kingdom that I've built. With my hand and my might and my mind, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished in life. And remember, the curse came upon him. He went out into the field. He was as an animal until seven times passed over. There was a time element involved, just like there was with the prodigal. Some prodigals have to go away to come back. And some kings have to be humbled before they can reign again. But he's there, and it says two things. Verse 34, at the end of this trial, mine understanding returned unto me. Verse 36, my reason returned unto me. Exactly what the prodigal did, he came to himself. And he says, after that last verse, he says, blessed be the Lord God of heaven. All glory to him. He's able to do whatever he wants to do. I think that's a blessing, don't you? To come to yourself, to be able to think, to be able to remember his blessings. Oh, his blessings today, just today, would take all our time. Grace has forgiven us for our sin and our failure. Grace, God has blessed us in so many ways. In our life, in this life, our memory has to be tempered with grace. Has to be. Because somebody may break into your house and rob you. Somebody may cheat you. They may sell you a car that is bright yellow. And it's a little tart, you know. They're called lemons. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can remember in this life. And they're not going to do you a bit of good. They're going to ruin your spirit. They're going to make you bitter. And you're going to pass that bitterness on to somebody else. And they'll pass it on to somebody else. And away we go. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach thy word? Amen. Hebrews 8:12, God says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10:17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. God's not going to remember them anymore. Yeah, but what do I do? I mean, my mind, my memories torment me. That's what the devil comes along and says, you'll never forget that, buddy. But the Lord comes along and says, what sin are you talking about? The song says, I don't remember them anymore. Scripture. They're in the deep, buried in the deepest sea there, as far as the east is from the west. Here's the thing about heaven. And did I say I closed 10 minutes ago? Say, yeah, and I'm pretty mad about it too. Well, you missed the whole message. You missed the whole message. I'm not going to remember it anymore. That's the big deal. Amen? I'm going to go to heaven. My dirty laundry list is as long as anybody's in here. Wrong been done to me, wrong done from me. It's a long list. It's embarrassing. Very embarrassing. It causes regrets, causes remorse. Can't even cause depression. But one day, I won't remember any of that. Isn't that a blessing? That's one of the greatest blessings, I think, of salvation. In just a minute, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And what does he say? This do in remembrance of me. Well, you know, got to get out of here, you know. And our minds start going on what's going to happen now when we leave this place. Well, I got to see this person. I got to take the car here. I got to do this. And we don't even take the time to remember. Well, listen to what he says. Remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. What? Take the bread. It's like the broken body. This do in remembrance of me. Take the cup. This is my blood which was shed for you. What does he want us to remember? He wants us to remember his sacrifice on the cross, his mercy and his love for each one of us that we don't deserve. Amen? But that he gives us freely. Let's bow our heads. Father, you are so good to us. You are so good to us. Even when we think it's bad, it's good. We don't like chastening, but chastening brings us back to you many times. Such spiritual blessings, peace, joy, comfort. You're our friend. Oh, Lord, we could go on and on and on. And I pray, as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, that we will remember on purpose, that we will cast down the imaginations and all the different thoughts that are going to come into our mind, maybe even come right now. We pray that we'd be able to cast them down and remember what you've done for us. I pray as we leave this place today that you'll just help us. You'll bring to mind the benefits, the blessings, the mercies, the faithfulness of your almighty hand, that we might praise you today and we might have a new spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray.